I've been reading this week in the book of Jeremiah, and you'll find that he was pretty much the lone voice right then speaking the words that God was wanting to be spoken. There was others that was prophesying and saying things that was not true, that did not happen. But what Jeremiah said was going to happen come to pass. And he suffered greatly for it. Thrown in a dungeon, where if God hadn't been looking out for him, he would have died. And yet, because he was faithful, though he went into captivity and everything just like the rest of them, but he was faithful to God. God looked out for him. And you and I today, when I think of the condition that the world is in, when I think of the way that so-called religious people are compromising with the things of the world, what we are willing to tolerate and still accept as being okay, and how it goes contrary to what the Bible says. You know, I just wonder what the younger generation is going to think of this generation in just a few years. You know, I remember preaching a message in North Carolina against adultery at the very end of a revival. And after it was over with, there was a woman there that had lived her life in it and had seen, just by her reading the Bible when she got right with the Lord, seen what a mistake that she had made. And a preacher talked her out of it, basically saying, you know, you can't do anything, you've got small children. But yet she seen, and when I preached the message, she recognized that God had shown her was right. And, you know, my heart just breaks when you see such as that. But yet today we'll find all over the world people are making compromises against what God says so that we might please man, or so that it might be a little easier, or so that we might not be thought that we're just off the wall crazy. But you know, there was men that thought that of Jeremiah. There was men that thought that of Ezekiel. There was men that thought that of Daniel. Every person that ever stood and took their stand, they were people that thought that of all of the disciples. They thought that of Christ. But yet, when all was said and done, the word that they stood upon, that they said, it's been proven to be right. And you and I today, we must come back and stand upon that that is right. Because if we don't, we're going to find after a while, all that we labored for, all that we stood for, has come to naught and been destroyed. God tells us, for you and I, to build a house for God that He approves of. And to do that, we're going to have to build it upon His Word. And I realize today one of the greatest words in society is the word compromise, because everybody thinks that we ought to be able to compromise and come together in agreement on something. But if something is right, you cannot compromise it and it still be right. You take a plumb line. It is plumb as long as it's plumb. That means it's perfectly straight. And you can't compromise that one bit and it still be plumb. Because if you try that on the door or anything, once you get that door hung, it's going to show that it wasn't hung plumb. Why are you going to see the cracks around it? They won't be the way they're supposed to be. It'll start dragging in a spot. Why? Because somebody compromised a little bit and they didn't think it would hurt. But you and I today,
When we don't compromise on that, the things of God, what hurts and destroys our soul, it destroys those that are following that, and it'll come to pass that when our life is over, we'll be destroyed for all of eternity before we fail
to stand upon the Word of God. And you'll find men in the Bible, they took their stand and they wouldn't compromise upon what God said they was to do or what they was to tell a king or whoever. And God proved His Word was right. And though they took their stand and they might have been imprisoned, they might have had terrible things happen to them the way the world would look at it, yet when all was said and done, they come out victorious because they held their integrity with God. And that's all that matters. You and I today, we cannot compromise with the things of this world. As I was listening to the news this week and hearing some of the things that they're going to try and get through Congress and Senate, I would just think, how awful it's going to be for my little grandchildren. When I think of how it was when I was a child, just seems like a few years ago. But right now, like 60 years ago, or 58 years ago, that I can really start remembering saying, you and I today, we say, oh, how times have changed, how the standards have changed. Why look at those little grandchildren, the youngest ones that just been born. And I think if God shows mercy, and He lets His world say, what are they going to be living in by the time they reach my age? What kind of a community will it be? It'll be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be worse than anything that we read about in the Bible. Why? Sin has become so emboldened in our land. That God said was abomination. They'll stand up today. Not in bed. Those chains of all their faith. And boldly say, it's my right. God has given each one of them their right to make a decision to live as we please. But He said for all of them, you will be brought into judgment. You'll give an account before me. And if we don't live according to the standard God laid down, when we stand there, we're going to find out that it carries a tremendous price. One that we really didn't want to pay, but on that time we're going to have to pay. If you'd like to read with us as far back in the Bible as Leviticus, you'll find in the 18th chapter, the 22nd verse, just reading this one verse, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now, I don't know what there is hard to understand about that. It says, thou shalt not. Now, you and I, we know when God says that, that's a command. And here He made it plain. And today we may accept it, but God doesn't. Then if you'll turn over with us in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, listen to this verse, the 7th chapter and the 23rd verse. But this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Now, that God said, listen to that again. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Then if you'll turn over into Acts, the 5th chapter, and reading the 29th verse, listen here, as they had basically told the disciples not to be teaching the things they were teaching, here's the answer Peter gave. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Now, that's not something that should be even hesitated on. We ought to obey God rather than man, because when my life is over, I do not give an account to man. I give an account to God. And who is it that I need to worry about obeying? If you go to the city and there's a man on the street that he's telling you that it's all right for you to go do this, it's all right for you to do that, that's against the law, and you come up before a judge for breaking that law, and you say, "Well, he told me to do it." The judge is going to let you know real fast he has no authority to tell you to do something that's against the law. You're here now to pay before me because of you being guilty. Then if you'll turn over with us in Romans, the very first chapter, and reading the 27th verse. And likewise, well, let's read the 26th too. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet." Now, that I don't think anybody should have any hard time understanding just what that God was trying to communicate to us. Then if you'll turn over with us in the Romans, the 6th chapter, listen to the 16th verse. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now, the question today is just like what that was being raised all the way back there when Jeremiah was speaking unto them and making it plain, obey my voice is what God was saying. Obey my voice. Not the voice of man, but obey my voice. And I realize we've got men in Washington with such vile character that's sitting there making the laws of this land to where they can write something that a moral, decent human being cannot go along with and follow and cannot compromise their standard and uphold that law that they want to marry. They can recognize the marriage between two men or two women, but God has not told me what his opinion is on it. Can I stand there and accept that and recognize it and be justified in the eyes of God? No. Why? Because God said, "Thou shalt not do it." Well, you and I today, God has not changed his opinion. You say, "Oh, that was the Old Testament." Well, I direct to you the New Testament. What God also thought of it then. No place to our mind where God changed his mind. Why? Because he said, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I changed all." You mind because of the prayer of preaching people or men of God? God will help judgment of all people in turn. Not because they didn't deserve it, but because God was merciful. But God's not going to let sin go into heaven where he is just because he's merciful. He said sin is going to be paid for. And you and I today, we're going to have to recognize this when we stand and face our friends and our loved ones that choose to do those things that God said are wrong. Those things that God said was an abomination. Those things that God said is sin. You and I, we must stand up and inform them that there is a loving God that can forgive them, that can raise them above these things. It don't do any good to condemn a man for the sin he's living in if you don't tell him that there's a way to hell. There's one that can help. There's one that has the answer. to God and to tell Him that's the way that you and me, and you can't help it. You must just accept it and live that way. Well, I want to tell you something. It's a proven fact that each and every one of us have weaknesses in life. There's some people that can pick up alcohol and they can drink it and they can set it down and walk away and never bother. There's people that can use drugs like that. They can use drugs one time and they can walk away from it and it never bother them. Don't have them. There's other people, one time and they're hooked. One time they drink it and they become an alcoholic. They just desire it. They want it. Why? It's the chemistry of their body. Something about them is a little different from that other person. Well, you and I, every one of us has battles like that we must fight in life. And it might be a man that just can't hardly look at a woman without desiring to be in bed with her, no matter who she is. That's his weakness. But I thank God we can come to the Lord. We can be forgiven. God can put within us a desire that's better than that. One that we can defeat that thing that sin. Just like that homosexual. He can come and he can be healed of that. He can be made a new creature. For that natural desire comes back again. What a wretch healer. Leaving the natural you. It's something that's recognized by anybody with any kind of common sin. That is not convenient. For two men to be together, for two women, is against nature. God give us that much common sin that no man, if it had not been, there would be no population here today, because two men together cannot produce offspring. Two women together cannot produce offspring. You and I today, God created male and female, that they might be able to reproduce. You and I today, anything outside of that is against nature and the plan of God. And the sooner we recognize God's plan is the best. God's plan is what's right. God's plan is the only one that we can live by and lift our head without shame. You know, you take that old man that in a girl he might win good. He might feel like that he's a millionaire. He might not bother who it is and saying it. But when he begins to sober up, he begins to feel a change of the condition of it. The same thing with that drug addict. They make her having a right by good. But while they're over, they're ashamed of what they've done. That same thing with the sin that God has bound, we might be ashamed of it. We might not want anybody to know about it. But we just can't seem to overcome it. Well, when we turn our mind and our heart over to God and just surrender all to Him and ask for forgiveness, we can find that God can make in us a new creature, one that desires the things of the Lord. He said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. We need people today that's got a desire to live for the Lord. Jeremiah, back there, though he was in prison, though they threw him in a dungeon once, and it said there was no water in there, just a mire, and he sunk in it. And here, when they went to draw him out, they took rotten rags and things for him to put under his arm. Why? You've ever walked in mud, that thing, it just sucks you. You're going to be pulled out. You can't. I stepped in it just a little over my ankles with a boot, and you can't hardly pull that boot out of it without stepping out of it, because it just sucks you in. It creates such a suction around you. That's what Jeremiah was down in. And they knew it was going to take a lot of pressure to pull him out. You and I today, that's what the world is saying. They're in the mire of sin.
And it takes Almighty God to pull them out, but first they must realize where they're at and what they're into to reach out and take hold of that hand that's able to pull them out. You and I today, we can read what the Bible says, but it don't do us any good unless we let it take root and grow in our minds and in our heart and stand up on it. Realize that we can't compromise. Or if the candidates in here go to running upon some of the things that I heard them say already, they go running upon that. I'd like to see one and ask them, how do you justify this with what God said in His Word? When this country, our family fathers recognize the Word of God in being something that was true, something that we can build upon. Something that we can govern our lives by, and yet you want to throw it all away to satisfy a man that you might get a few more fun. What are you willing to compromise for that? There's no way I can vote for you. It's time to realize that we have standards
that we cannot compromise, and it don't mean picking out a political party that is not as bad as the other one. It means you cannot compromise the things of God to that degree and still hold your integrity with God. How can I vote for a man or a woman for any office whatsoever when the very core thing that God is against, they're wanting to legalize, they're wanting to just say it's okay? You and I today, somewhere or another, we've got to draw the line. And we've got to hold our politicians to it. Somewhere or another, we've got to draw the line and say, this is the Word of God, and I will not compromise. You'll find back there in the Bible, there are many of a time, the men of God, they were given opportunities to compromise what they had stood upon, the stand that they had taken, the word that they had said. You'll find there was one player, Jeremiah, he wrote it, and he said to the king began to read it, and what was he doing? He was cutting it up with a penknife and throwing it in the fire, figuring this gets rid of it. I've done away with it. What did God do? He told Jeremiah, he said, you write it all again, and then he added more to it. Why? Because God, he turned right around, and the demand thought he got rid of, God just established it that much stronger. You and I today, we can take all of the Word of God, we can take it and put it on fire, and say, I'm burned it up. I've got away with it, but God's got a copy in heaven. Man cannot do away with it. And when we stand there, He's not going to have to go and go to one of the prayers here in this world to get a copy of His Word to judge it by. He got it already. And He said, you'll be judged by it. And each and every one of us, when we stand there, we got a God that was so honest, so righteous, that He seen that we had a copy of His Word here that we could see what He was requiring of us. He sent it to His prophets, to His apostles, that they would write it down and record it for us. And then He made it possible. You know, even back then, there was not as many copies around of the Word of the Lord as there is today. They would meet together in large groups and somebody would read from a copy, a scroll, whatever that they had. But today, every home in America probably has one Bible, if not many. And you and I today, when we stand before God, we will have no excuses because we've had God's Word to know exactly what He requires. You know, the question is still being asked, You know, as Peter answered here, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You and I today, that is not something that's in debate. The president, no matter what that he orders, no matter what Congress, Senate, no matter what a judge or anything like that orders for us to do, if it's contrary to the Word of God, God's requiring us to stand on His Word first. Why? Because man, He told us not to fear man. Because the most He can do to you is put you in prison or take your life. And our life is soon going to be over here in this world anyhow. But God said, fear God. Because He can destroy your life here. He can destroy your body and soul in hell. Each and every one of us, we have a choice. Are we going to obey the voice of the Lord, the Word of God? People say, well, God no longer speaks. If we won't listen to the words that He's got recorded on a page in front of us that He has written by His prophets and His apostles, making it so plain, just what I read to you, so plain that even a fool knows what he was saying. If we won't listen to that, why does God need to come and speak anything to us? We have already rejected what He had to say and told Him plain we don't want to hear it. Just like you'll find in the Bible, they told the prophet, you go, you talk to God, and whatever God tells us, we will do it. And then when He come back, tell them the word of the Lord, they didn't want to do it. You and I today, America is the same. They say, oh, we want to be a Christian nation. We want to obey God. But we want to do it the way we want to, not the way God wants us to. Well, you and I, when we stand before God, God is going to judge us by what He requires, not what man does. You can take the men in Washington, Barney Frank, a homosexual that's there in our government pushing for all these different things instead of somebody standing up and saying point blank, katoin, you're against everything that's holy. You're against everything that God said was righteous. You're against anything that anybody with any kind of common sense that reads the Bible knows what God required of us. Why on earth do we tolerate such as that? But today we feel like, oh, everybody has their right. Everybody has got to be accepted for what they want to believe. Well, if you want to live like that, fine. That's your choice. But don't try and push it down the dead for those that want to stand for what God said was the right way to live. What's wrong with living right? What's wrong with standing upon God's word? It's what brought this nation from just a little handful of people to the strongest nation on the face of the earth. Now we want to turn around and compromise with all that's unholy and try and make it all right. But God will not continue to bless us if we compromise and sell out. And it's time to realize we need to obey the voice of the Lord, not man. God's word is what really counts. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. That's God's word. And it's right there plain for us to see. And if we say, well, I'll follow five of them and the other five, that won't matter. I can get by. Well, there's a whole lot more. You know, a lot of people that say they're on Ten Commandments. There are a whole lot more than Ten Commandments in the Bible. But it makes no difference. You can follow 99 of them, but if you willingly disobey that other one, when you stand before God. You're going to be held accountable for that one. Why? Because you willfully made the decision, I know better than God on what's right. And each and every one of us, when we stand before God, we're going to come before a righteous judge. We're going to come before an almighty and powerful God. You know, when I think just how small I am in this great big universe that God created, I am just so blessed that I've got a God that's so big to do all that, and yet mindful of me, less than a speck of dust when it comes in comparison to all of that. And yet God is mindful of me. God cares for me. God listens to me when I pray. God is there speaking to me, showing me the way for me to go. He's got His Word right here for me to follow. God still talks to us today. And we'll open up our ears and listen. And we'll open up our eyes. He's still willing to show men and women just what He requires. Today you and I, God is reaching out under the human family, and the end of the cross, it just said we no longer want to walk with Him and hold His hand. And because of that, we're finding our world in such a horrible shape that people seem to think that, well, we're just going to destroy ourselves by global warming or by this or by that or whatever. God has pointed an end for this world, and He's the one that's going to say when it's going to end. And He said it's going to burn up and the fullness thereof. But you and I, if our heart's right with God, we don't have to worry about that. Because when it's burning up, we'll be in a better place. Each and every one of us, God's made the way. And just like what I read to you there, if we obey the voice of the Lord, we follow His commandments, we listen to His Word, we read it, we study it, we want to know what God requires of us today. If we do that, we'll find that when we come before God, it'll be well with us. Why? Because we have strived to do that that's pleasing unto God. While we get some song to sing, what's in your heart today? Are you willing to stand and be counted on the side of God? They're the disciples. You know, they knew these that was there speaking to them had power by law to punish them, and they was in prison, they were beaten, there was all kinds of things done to them. But their answer was still the same. In other words, judge yourself. Which should we do? Should we obey a man or should we obey God? Common sense, or to teach anybody, God's what counts. You and I, who are you going to obey today? Are you going to obey the voice of the Lord? Or are you going to yield yourself to the things of man and even to the things you want your own self? You know, the Bible said to deny ourselves. Well, for me to deny myself, that means there's something that I was wanting to do that I knew that I shouldn't, but I was wanting to do it, but I know what God's got over here is better. So I'll deny that old Adam nature might have been wanting, and I might yield myself unto the will of God. And you know, it might be hard that first time to deny yourself, but it gets easier when we let God rule. While we sing, will you come? Are you doing the will of God for you today? You truly obeying the voice of the Lord?